Today we are joined by one of America's most popular and beloved personalities, Suzanne Somers. In a multifaceted career that has spanned nearly three decades, Suzanne has achieved extraordinary success as an actress, singer, comedian, New York Times bestselling author, entrepreneur, and lecturer. Her book, Breakthrough, 8 Steps to Wellness, was an instant New York Times bestseller and remained on the list for 10 weeks, also appearing on the bestseller lists of USA Today, The Wall Street Journal, Entertainment Weekly, and Publishers Weekly. In her book, Knockout, interviews with doctors who are curing cancer and how to prevent getting it in the first place, which became available yesterday, October 20th, Suzanne authoritatively takes on a disease she conquered herself, cancer. In Knockout, Suzanne, one of America's most informed and passionate healthcare advocates, shares groundbreaking and successful cancer prevention and care protocols, incorporating chemo-free options that are available now. Somers has stared cancer in the face, including a shattering scare last November involving a heart-rending misdiagnosis and deeply flawed medication regimen. Suzanne interviews some of today's foremost Western-trained doctors and specialists who are using proven, cutting-edge, and innovative cancer treatments, therapies that build up your body rather than tear it down. Whichever care path you choose, Knockout is a must-have resource to navigate the life and death world of cancer and increase your odds of survival. Suzanne, welcome to It's Your Health.
Hello, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. It is such an honor to have you here today. Now, in the introduction, I mentioned your cancer and the scare you had in November 2008. Can you share your stories with us and how they contributed to writing this groundbreaking book?
Well, as you said, I had cancer almost 10 years ago and chose non-conventional therapy to beat it and have beat it and was quite proud of myself and moved on and never really thought about cancer again, other than I eat as though my life depends on it, because I think nutrition is such a big component in not only getting cancer if you're eating badly or a lot of chemicals, or you can use nutrition to keep from getting a recurrence. And so I eat organic food. I grow my own organic food. I take the vitamins. I take bioidentical hormones. I sleep every night. I manage my stress. I exercise. I do everything I can possibly do to be healthy. So you can imagine how surprised I was in November of this year when I had an emergency situation. Don't really know what happened to me, but I went into anaphylactic shock. My body broke out in welts. I couldn't breathe. I felt like I was being strangled to death. Got to the emergency room. They saved my life, literally, and then they did a CAT scan. After the CAT scan, the doctor comes in and he says, "I have very bad news." And I said, "What?" And he said, "You have a large mass on your lung. It looks like the cancer is metastasizing to your liver. You have so many tumors in your chest, we can't count them. They all have masses in them. And you have a blood clot and you have pneumonia. So we're going to check you into the hospital because the blood clot will kill you first." And then a nightmare began. I was in the hospital for 6 days. I was declared by the oncologist that not only did I have cancer, but that he had never seen so much cancer in a body. Six doctors confirmed that I had cancer that metastasized through my entire body. I was offered full-body chemotherapy, and I said, just so you know where I'm coming from, I would rather die, because I thought, if I have full-body cancer, I have at most 2 months left to live, and I want, if that's all I have, I want to have quality of life. I don't want to die horribly like I've watched everybody on chemotherapy.
Exactly.
So it was really quite a horrendous week, 6 days of knowing I was going to die. I had to face my death. I had to start thinking about who would get what and how I would prepare my loved ones for a life without me. And then I had a surgery to do a biopsy on the fifth day. I don't know why, because if you have full-body cancer, why did I even submit to it? But I can only think, because I was on a sedative, because my blood pressure usually is at 110 over 80. I'd gone up to 191 and wouldn't come down from the stress of all of it. So they cut open my neck, took a piece of my lung, took a piece of one of the tumors around my heart. I came out of intensive care hearing them say, "Wow, you don't have any cancer at all." And so I thought, had I been another kind of patient, and not an informed patient, I might have accepted that full-body chemotherapy for a cancer I didn't have, that I'm sure today I'd be dead, because if you're going to pump that much chemo into a body, it's not going to survive it. And it turned out to be that nobody checked my blood test to see my eosinophil levels. Eosinophils indicate a poisoning or a severe allergic attack, the maximum an eosinophil level can be is 5. I was at 16. So it means that nobody ever looked at my blood test. They just went right to the CAT scan, didn't do any investigation, declared me terminal, inoperable, if I didn't want to do full-body chemo. So in that time in the hospital, when I was feeling such despair, I said to my husband, you know, I've been keeping a file on these doctors I've been reading about who are curing cancer without drugs. I don't know if they can help me with full-body cancer, but if I can get out of here, I want you to take me to Houston to Dr. Brzezinski or to New York to Dr. Gonzalez, or I want you to take me to Nevada to Dr. Forsyth or one of the other doctors I had kept files on. And so after it turned out to be this horrible misdiagnosis, which the misdiagnosis was that something knocked out my immune system, that we don't know what it is, and it dislodged a dormant fungus in me that many, many people in the desert Southwest are carrying around in them because it's in the top two layers of soil and it's blowing in the wind, and we're breathing it in, and if you have a healthy immune system, it lies there dormant. If you don't, it can actually kill you. A lot of migrant workers have, it's called coccidiomycosis. The friendly name is valley fever. And the reason they thought it was cancer is that coccidiomycosis looks like cancer on a CAT scan. All those welts that were on the outside of my body were also on the inside of my body, and they looked like there were tumors everywhere, but they really weren't. So I started calling these doctors who are curing cancer, and interviewing their patients, and that's how this book, Knockout, Doctors Who Are Curing Cancer, came to be. I worked on this, started in February, it's already finished in book form. I was obsessed with this subject, and I finished the book, and I said to my husband, you know what writing this book has done for me? It has taken away my fear of cancer. Now I know if I were to choose chemotherapy, for one of the few cancers where chemotherapy does work, which is testicular cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, some other lymphomas, and childhood leukemia, and adult leukemia with Gleevec. Chemo is working. I might consider chemo in those circumstances. But when I interviewed the Scientific Advisory Board of Life Extension, a panel of doctors, what they told me were there are things that you can take if you are going to have chemotherapy before and after surgery that will make your surgery more successful in that it will prevent metastasis because it lines the artery walls so that when the tumor is removed and those rogue cells escape, it lines the artery walls so that the turbulence of the blood just pushes these rogue cells out of your body and the artery walls are protected by cimetidine and modified fruit citrus pectin, which you can get over the counter. So I learned about conventional. I interviewed integrative doctors. Dr. Forsyth does integrative where he's an oncologist, but he's also a naturopath and a homeopath. I said, why'd you do that? And he said, so I could give my patients nutrients and vitamins. I said, can't you do that as an oncologist? And he said, no, it's not allowed as part of the protocol. So when a patient goes to him, he takes their blood, he sends it to either Germany or Greece where they do chemosensitivity tests. I mean, let's find out if the chemo we're going to have is the right chemo for your cancer. He does that, which takes a few weeks. While he's doing that, he builds up the patient's body with IV nutrients, vitamin C, glutathione, gets their body so strong. By the time the chemosensitivity test comes back, he can then get the right chemo for that patient, if there is one, and give them the lowest dose of chemotherapy along with nutrients, and his patients are doing very well. And then there's Dr. Gonzalez, who is completely nutritional, and he has had incredible success. And I called him the other day before we went on Larry King, and I said, can you give me 10 names of 10 patients who have been on your protocol with stage 4 pancreatic cancer who have been alive 10 years or longer? Half hour later, I had 10 names, 10 phone numbers, and he apologized for taking so long, but he had to call each patient first to see if it was okay to give them their phone number, to give me their phone number. How many oncologists out there can you ask, do you have 10 patients who are still alive 10 years later with stage 4 pancreatic? Plus, I have 3 others in my book that I had already interviewed, so that's 13 right there. He's having great success with pancreatic cancer. And then the other doctor is Dr. Stanislav Brzezinski, who's out of Houston. And if you have a brain tumor, that's where you want to go. He is having a 60% success rate with the most virulent brain tumors, death sentences, glioblastoma, medulloblastoma, and he has just completed phase 2 clinical trials in compliance with the FDA, and he's been approved for phase 3 clinical trials. Now, the thing is, if he is able to complete phase 3 clinical trials, that will mean that he has the cure. I will be very surprised if they ever approve him, because if he has the cure, then that means all these other protocols, all these other solid tumor cancers for which they're putting chemotherapy in people's bodies, when they cannot say it will cure. They will. It's a protocol. He said, if I take this chemotherapy for pancreatic cancer and it's going to bring me to my knees, can you promise me it will cure me? And they can't say that. They can say the tumor will shrink, the tumor will respond, and they have this way of acting as though they're having success by, it's called surrogate endpoint, where if the patient has chemotherapy, the tumor shrinks by 50% over 4 weeks, they call it a complete response. If that same patient dies in week 5, they still call it a complete response. So that seems to me kind of skewed, you know.
I'm not saying
don't do chemotherapy. I'm not saying there aren't patients who have had chemotherapy and are alive. You see on the news today, it's saying they're over-screening for breast and prostate cancer. Because I called Dr. Blaylock, a renowned neuroscientist, oncologist, and I said, I'm looking at this woman on television we all know, who we all know had cancer, and she lost her hair, and we went through it. I'm looking at this other entertainer who had breast cancer, and we saw her lose her hair. She had chemo. They both had chemo. I know a couple of women who have lost their hair, they've had chemo, and they seem to be alive. He said, we're so over-screening for these cancers that a lot of times people are, women with breast cancer and men with prostate cancer, are being given harsh treatment, chemotherapy, when the kind of cancer they had really didn't require it. So they would have lived anyway and not had their body degraded from it. And he said, and the other thing that nobody says about chemotherapy is that it gets into the DNA of every cell in the body. And it lies there like a smoldering grass fire. And he said, we're seeing recurrences 10, 12, even 15 years later. And when it comes back with a like a wildfire out of control. So my whole object in Knockout, having sat in that diagnostic chair and being told this awful news twice in my life now, where your heart falls to your feet, is to write this book, Knockout, and the reader, read the whole thing so that you know what's out there. And information is power. And when you know all the different ways people are treating cancer, then you can see what resonates with you and make the right decision. And it may well be conventional chemotherapy, but at least you'll have all the information. And yeah, that's all I'm trying to do is Knockout.
No, I think that is so important. You know, my mother died of ovarian cancer 14 years ago, and she read everything on alternative and natural living, and she combined it with traditional cancer treatments. Well, she had 27 chemos, and she just got so sick, and it was so hard to watch, like you had mentioned earlier, that you've watched a lot of people go through this, and she fought so long and hard and lost, you know, her battle. And Your book gives hope to so many who, even with a stage 4 diagnosis like my mom's, you know, can beat the odds. And I just wish that she had your book, because I know she would have loved it just like I did.
Yeah, I'm thinking of one woman in particular with stage 4 ovarian cancer who's a testimonial in this book. And she went with Dr. Gonzalez's program, and I tried to play devil's advocate with these patients. I said, really? You're going to do coffee enemas for life and take these pancreatic enzymes and only eat organic food and have the liver flushes and gallbladder flushes? And she said, you bet. She said, I was given a terminal sentence. I've been alive now for 11 years. I feel great. I have energy. My health is great. And she said, I'm 72 years old. You should see me. I'm beautiful. I said,
nice.
Send me a picture. So she sends me a picture. And she has the most beautiful skin. She's glowing. And I thought, of course she's glowing. She's eating the right nutrition. She's being detoxed regularly. She's all cleaned out. And probably the coffee enemas, I've heard this before in the past, that it makes your skin so beautiful because it's detoxing. So maybe, just maybe, we've been looking up the wrong tree with the way we've been approaching cancer, because I keep thinking all these billions of dollars going into research and all the well-meaning people marching for the cure to cancer, and it's all the money goes to pharmaceutical companies, and they haven't come up with it after all this money. Where's the money going? And here, these little doctors, independent doctors around the country, who are getting persecuted. The FDA keeps trying to put them in jail and suing them and just doing everything to discourage them. And yet, what other oncologist can come up with 10 names in half hour of stage 4 pancreatic cancer patients who are alive and thriving? And Dr. Brzezinski, with these brain tumors, this little girl, I interviewed her. I went to his clinic 6 weeks ago. I really did investigative work on this. I went to the clinics. I met with the patients. I met with the doctors. And I interviewed this little girl, and she had been diagnosed with, I think she was glioblastoma, the terrible brain tumor. No, I'm sorry, I'm mixing it with Dustin Kunari. This little girl had liver cancer that had metastasized into her lung at 2.5 years, and her doctor said, just take her home and enjoy the time you have left. The parents heard about Dr. Brzezinski in Houston, went down there. Because she was so little, he put a port in her, and they made a little backpack that she kept on for 2 years, pumping these peptides into her body, non-toxic peptides, for 2 years. I interviewed her 6 weeks ago. She's 9 years old. She was all fidgety. She was bored doing the interview. She wanted to go out and play. Just a typical little girl. And I looked at her and I thought, you should have been dead. And because there's a doctor out there who has devoted his life to trying to find the cure, you get to live. And those stories made a believer out of me, gave me hope. And I hope anybody who reads Knockout will walk away with the kind of hope that I have now, that were I ever to be diagnosed again, I wouldn't be afraid. And depending on what kind of cancer, I know what doctor I would go to and what protocol I would utilize depending on the type of cancer.
This must have been such an amazing experience for you to get to meet all of these people and hear these stories of hope when there's so many stories out there for people I've seen who are, you know, just doing the conventional route that aren't having such success.
The conventional route, aside from the cancers that I said that do work, the chemo that does work for those cancers, is really, for the most part, a dismal failure. You know, the death rate has only dropped 5% for cancer in the last 55 years. What other medical protocol and technology would you continue to utilize with such dismal outcomes? And it's because they don't have anything else.
Yeah.
And that's the, we can get to the moon, we can look at what we can accomplish, and we can't figure out how to cure cancer. Well, maybe these little independent guys have the answer. Maybe it's nutritional. Maybe it's like Dr. Gonzalez says. He said, you give cancer what it wants, and it'll leave you alone. I said, what does it want? He said, it wants nutrition, it wants a detox body, and it you have to give the pancreas a rest when a patient has cancer, and so you supply the pancreatic enzymes. Enzymes are like little Pac-Men. They eat cancer. So he gives his patients in the initial stages, depending on their virulence, anywhere from 100 to 300 of these a day, and I ask them, really? How can you take all those enzymes? And they go, you know, you just make it part of your day. One woman said, I even when I go out to lunch with my girlfriends, you know, I always have my supply in my purse, and while I'm eating, I'll take them, you know, five or so at a time. And she said, I just take it all day long. She said, I'm alive. If this is what it takes to keep me alive and I don't have any side effects, it's not a problem.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the side effects. You know, something else that I was really impressed with, well, I've loved all your books, but, you know, in
Thank
Breakthrough,
you.
Oh, sure, 8 Steps to Wellness, you talk in the introduction about the prescription mad medical culture and how anti-aging medicine, which has to do with improving one's overall health through healthy lifestyle changes, is what needs to happen. And you write in the first chapter that is entitled, What is Breakthrough Medicine? Quote, in its way, anti-aging medicine has put the brakes on this crazy hamster wheel and said, slow down, it's not working, let's find another way. And now with Knockout, you're not only reminding us that it's not working, but you are showing us another way. And I just think that's so fabulous. You're building on this wonderful array of material that's already out there that you've created, and it's really wonderful.
Well, it is a privilege to bring this message. And people warned me, and don't take on the cancer industry, which I don't think I am. I'm not anti the cancer industry. I'm just saying to people, if you're real happy with what's happening out there, then that's where you should go. But if you've got any reservations about it, and if you're looking around and thinking to yourself it's not working, why don't you take a look at this information? It might give you a lot of power and hope. And I had to make some sense out of why I went through what I went through in November. Why did I have to actually see and feel my death and all the pain that goes with having to let go of loved ones? My son, who I gave birth to as a teenager, who is a grown man with a family now, just sobbed and he said, "I can't imagine a world without you." And for the first time in his life, I couldn't be assuring. I couldn't say, "Oh, it's going to be okay." I just looked at him, and there were no words, and it was painful for him and painful for me because he knew what my silence meant. But I looked at him. I thought, "I can't believe I have to leave you." I looked at my husband the same way, and I thought, "I can't believe I have to leave you." It was the saddest experience I've ever had in my life. You know, it's interesting. After I was, after the surgery where they said, "Oh my gosh, it was a misdiagnosis." Nobody apologizes in medicine, of course.
Oh my gosh, I'm thinking they better be apologizing.
You would think, but yeah. Everyone's so afraid of litigation. And
of course.
I almost want to say to them, you know, I'm not suing you. I never was going to sue you. I think y'all did the best you could. You're horribly wrong, but you did the best you could. But I thank you, and I'm sorry, would have gone a long way. Might have healed me faster. As it was, I couldn't get the sadness out of myself. I came home. I couldn't work for 6-8 weeks. I just was kind of comatose because information is gathered in the cells. And my cells had said, "Oh, we're dying? Okay. All right. That's what we'll do." And I actually had to access a therapist to help me come back to life, so to speak, because what it did, it triggered up all the stress of my life, even my house burning down a year ago and things that you wouldn't, like my cat dying and childhood trauma. It just triggered post-traumatic stress. So it had many phases. I'm fine now. I'm on the other side of it, and I see the good. The good is that episode forced me to do this book, a book I never would have written, forced me to learn what's happening out there. I really think a lot of people will be very helped by the information in Knockout.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. Now, did you find any doctors that you were able to get to listen to your side and who actually came around and said, you know what, maybe we should look some other ways? Or did you find that a lot of doctors were kind of set and stubborn?
I found them all, outside of alternative, all to be set and stubborn, almost dismissive of me, and I had to forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
I had to stand back with perspective and say to myself, how would you feel if you went to medical school all those years and learned how, essentially what oncologists learn is how to administer poisons, and got real good at it, and now there's somebody out there saying, doesn't seem to be working, there's another way. It invalidates all that education. I think that's a big reason why they're going to hang on to this protocol no matter what, and the only defense those doctors have when I'm opposite them on a show is, you know, we've extended life. And then I say, I'm sorry, with all due respect, let's look at pancreatic cancer and the drug Gemzar, which is the chemo they give them. That creates a horrible quality of life and only extends life by 1 month. Really, are you proud of that? Can't you do better than that? And how many people go through the grueling and the expense? It costs a minimum of $500,000 to die of chemotherapy in this country and then die anyway. Are you proud of that? I'm saying it works sometimes when it works, and I want it to work all the time. And if it worked all the time and I had a virulent cancer, I, even though knowing it would bring me to my knees, I would do it. But knowing it's going to bring you to your knees and they can't say cure, why do we keep walking into it? So that's all. This is my perspective, but it comes from listening to doctor after doctor that I interviewed and asking their feelings and opinions on what is happening in the cancer world.
Yeah, you know, when you're talking, I just keep thinking of my mother and just, yeah. You know, she...
So sorry.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, you know, she lived an extra 2 years and 4 months, but it was so grueling. Like I said, 27 chemo, 6 abdominal surgeries, and she did do coffee enemas, and she had every supplement, and she ate organic, and she did the raw juice, and she did everything, but, you know, the stage 4, but of course she didn't have access to what you're talking about now. And I just think, why go through all that? And then she didn't even make it. It's like, wait, right. I was so angry. Like, how did you do this? And then it didn't even work. So
I understand that. And but all the doctors say to me, if we could get them before they're all chemoed and radiated, we have tremendous success. But both Brzezinski, Forsyth, and Gonzalez all say the same thing. By the time people come to us, they're gasping. It's the last attempt. So they come to alternatives last. And he said, we save some of them, but usually their bodies are in such distress. We try to build them up first before we start treating them, and it's a beat-the-clock kind of situation. He said, some we save, some we don't save. The thing that the audience listening needs to know is there are no guarantees.
Yeah,
there's not
true.
One doctor out there, including these, that can say they have 100% success. Cancer kills, and sometimes cancers are so virulent and so out of control or so late in the diagnostic process that the patient doesn't have a shot. But at least now you've got options, and these doctors, like I said with Dr. Gonzalez, you find me one other oncologist in this country, in the world, who can say, yeah, I've got a bunch of patients who've been living with pancreatic cancer for 10 years or more. You ask doctors out there with brain tumor patients how many they have who've been alive after being diagnosed with brain tumors. And Dr. Brzezinski is doing great work with ovarian and prostate and breast and lung and liver cancers. Dr. Forsyth is doing incredible work with prostate and bone and multiple myeloma and blood cancers. Gonzalez is doing great works with pancreatic and all the rest of the cancers. And then there's Julie Taguchi, Dr. Julie Taguchi, my oncologist, who, if a woman doesn't want to do standard of care like I didn't, she has a study that she's conducting of 55 women, I'm one of them, who treated their breast cancer with keeping their hormones in perfect ratios using natural bioidentical hormones and nutrition. And that's how I've stayed alive. And as I said at the beginning of the interview, I eat as though my life depends on it, and I believe it does. But I believe all our lives depend on what we're eating.
Oh, completely. You know, I recently interviewed Dr. Alejandro Yungar. I don't know if you've heard of him. He wrote the book Clean, and it's all about detoxifying and about how dairy doesn't do the body good, and we had an interesting conversation about that, and it's so inspiring. And just to get the message out there that we, you know, I know it's an old saying, we are what we eat, but we really are, and people
really
put
are.
So much junk into their bodies.
And more than ever.
Yes.
You know, this is the greatest environmental assault in the history of mankind.
Yep.
And everybody's saying, I don't know where all the cancer's coming from. And I sit there and I think, you don't?
Hello. Yeah, completely. I mean, he talks about that too. You know, he said Al Gore talks about an inconvenient truth. Well, the other inconvenient truth has to do with all these toxins in our environment
right.
that are killing us, basically.
Right.
And we have to, you know, live clean.
Right.
And that's what you talk about in your books. And I, like I said, I love all of your books and the information. You have so many. And I would love for you to come back sometime and talk about the, is it bioidentical hormones? Because there's so many things that I would love to ask you. So I hope sometime in the future.
I will tell Sandy to set that up. I'd love to do that.
Oh, so would I.
I appreciate the time you've given me today. And I hope the listening audience, somebody out there got hope from this.
Oh, I'm sure they did, Suzanne. Just hearing your name, people got, when I was on the way here and I stopped at Whole Foods, of course, and I mentioned, you know, I'm one of those people, I always talk to everybody, so I'm like, Alex, Suzanne Summers is coming on the show. He's like, oh my gosh. And, you know, everybody loves you. Everybody.
That's so great.
And the great thing is that this is being taped and it's going to go onto my website. It's yourhealthradio.org. And so in a week or so, people can go on my site and they can listen whenever they want. They can download it. They can put it on their iPod. They can listen at their desk. And we're also going to replay it a lot.
Great.
So,
and they can go to my website
sure.
and click on Life Extension to get a lot of information about If you are going conventional, there's just a lot of information that links through Life Extension. So I'd love them to go visit and go to my Facebook and go to my blog and write me a letter, and I'll answer them.
That's wonderful. Now, all the wonderful doctors that you mentioned, are there sites on your site, Dr. Budrinsky and some of the others?
All in the back of the book. All the information in the back of Knockout, so you can find everything there.
Well, I want to encourage everyone to go out and get it. Suzanne, thank you so much. This was such a thrill for me. I've been a fan of yours for years. And, you know, I was going to say in the introduction, if I was going to mention all your accomplishments, we wouldn't have time for the interview. So it was tough, but I was like, I've got to keep this short.
Well, thank you so much. I loved how interested you are. It really means a lot.
Thank good. So well, I want to have you back on soon. Now, joining us tomorrow, thank you, Suzanne, is the new national celebrity spokesperson on the Holistic Moms Network, actress Mayim Bialik from NBC hit television series Blossom. She'll be talking about her new role with the Holistic Moms Network and attachment parenting, so be sure to tune in. That's from 10 to 10:30. And Ida Zelaya will be on from 9:30 to 10 with Rhondalyn Whitney, who's going to talk about nonverbal learning disorder in children and Asperger's, because it is still the month that we're devoting to special needs and to breast cancer. Again, thanks to Suzanne Summers. This was so wonderful. Thanks to my wonderful engineer, David, who always does such a wonderful job and means so much to me. Have a great week, everyone. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye.